This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
All right, let's get right to it because Luke Hancock last night was...
He's got a tee time. I'm sure he's got a tee time. Let's go. We got to get him. He's going to play today.
You were just bragging
he's going,
about
look,
his,
he's going wait, to play. He's going to play.
Hold on a second. You were just bragging about his work ethic, and now you're bragging about his golf game today. I mean, you got to get it. It's either
A
or B.
Because he worked all last night.
Oh, I see.
He worked last night. He was there for the doubleheader. He was doing half times with Kelsey Riggs. He's up early this morning with us, and I can tell he's going to bang it because he's got the zip vest and the golf shirt on. He's going to hit balls today, if nothing else.
Luke?
I wish you were right. I'm teeing it up for everybody who's asked me to play. I need to get through the ACC basketball tournament, then I'm in for any and all golf. I'm actually not going to go today, but I do look like I got my Valhalla logo on the sleeve. Look like I'm ready to go.
Speaking of ready to go, how about you've been part of some late game heroics in your career? How about the drama in the ATL last night? Because I was following you vicariously. Now that we're both verified on Twitter and our lives have changed, I was following you on social media. That was un-freaking believable down the stretch last night in the ATL.
It was absolutely unbelievable. If you go back and watch that last possession for Georgia Tech, I just can't imagine Josh Pastner is over there getting guys fired up in the huddle, saying this is what we're going to run, this great play where Jose is going to dribble to the left, he's going to dribble to the right, the defense isn't going to move, the offense isn't going to move, and then with 6, 7, 8 seconds left, he's going to hoist one up 12 feet behind the line. I mean, it was as disastrous a final play as I have seen in a long time. But you think about it, we were talking about it, guys. There's no pictures on the scorecard. Georgia Tech with a huge win, boosting that tournament resume. I think they're firmly in now. I think it's too little too late for the Dukies.
Well,
all right, but wait
no
a second.
Way.
You're a shooter, Hancock. On the game's biggest stage, you're a shooter, and Alvarado cuts it loose, and you just dropped your head, didn't you? In shame of shooters around the world, right?
You know, I don't think that the reaction from my teammates would have been as good as Moses Wright was, where he just kind of walked up to him and hugged the guy and just kind of gave a head shaking, like, what the heck were you doing out there? I can't imagine. I played with Russ Diculous, Russ Smith, who never saw a shot he didn't like. And there were a lot of times where you're like, no, what do you do? All right, it went in. It went in. There's nothing we can do. But if he pulled something like that, I can't imagine what Rick Pitino would have done to us. We'd still be running.
Well, yeah, but you know, but at the end of the night, the object's to win the game. And with everything at stake, it certainly puts folks on the NCAA selection committee making phone calls to people left and right now going, hey, you're in or you're out. Georgia Tech, the good news, hey, like you said, they've got some breathing room. It seems like they're in great shape. Mm. But for Duke, hey, a win or a loss with North Carolina, I mean, it's going to come down to Greensboro. For Duke, it seems that way to me.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for Duke-UNC to be this just epic battle at the end of the year, trademarked by Jay Billis. It never disappoints. But I don't think Duke even winning against UNC is going to have enough on their resume to get it done. I think they got to make a run in Greensboro. I'm with you. And I've said this before, though. Think about how great of a coach Coach K is. Think about what that locker room is going to be like when they're in the ACC tournament in that first round and he's trying to really instill belief in his guys. I mean, they're playing better basketball as of late. I think the emergence of Mark Williams has really changed this team as a rim protector, as a rebounder, as a shot blocker. And then, you know, Wendell Moore's playing better basketball and Matthew Hurt is as hot as he's been. I mean, he had 37 points against Louisville, had a big game the other night. You know, I think it was kind of a tough matchup for them, but at the same time, Duke is playing good basketball. They're not playing great basketball, but I think if they get hot at the right time, they make some perimeter shots and Matthew Hurt stays hot, they could beat some teams. They could make a run in the ACC tournament. And again, if Coach K is telling you that, you're going to believe it. You're going to be ready to go.
Yeah. Luke, I want to get to a conversation Pack and I were having earlier in this hour. Player of the year in this league, all ACC in this league. What Moses Wright's done in the last 4 weeks doesn't happen often in this league, and that's explode to become a double-double machine and like a 20-10 guy almost every night. Not sure he's going to be the player of the year feel pretty good about him being all ACC, but where does he fall on your scale?
Well, he's up there, and 20 and 10, that's not quite enough. His last two games are more like 30 and 15. The guy has been an absolute monster. I've loved watching his development in the ACC. I mean, a guy who played high school basketball late, we've talked about this over and over again, has just gotten better and better and better. And I even tweeted last night that you get a guy like Mark Williams, a shot blocker like that, to make a business decision and just step out of the way versus going for that block shot. You know you're feared in the paint. I mean, people respect Moses Wright. They respect his game. His motor is on another level. I think he's going to be up there. I don't know if he's quite had a consistent enough season to be first team, but I certainly think he's going to be in consideration and probably on the second team in my eyes. I mean, he's been a monster for them. This is a group, again, a bunch of seniors, a bunch of veterans that I think believe they can make a run. And I know that game last night, Moses Wright being from Raleigh, that had a little extra something on it, some of those dunks. You might need to go check the screws in those rims because he was hanging on those things all night.
Look, I want to talk about the emotion of Louisville. They go, and again, much like Duke, their game at Cameron Indoor was one that, hey, whoever won, deep sigh of relief. Whoever lost, you got some issues, you got work to do. Louisville goes on the road. Yeah. They win the game, a tough, grinding game. A really terrific game watching it going back and forth. Could have gone either way. Goes to overtime. They find a way to win. In the celebration, you end up finding out, man, Malik Williams is back with us. This is great. Now you get the injury news. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, which means you lose him for March. Now you're thinking, son of a gun. All right, well, we've played all year without him, but we're used to playing it. But, man, we're much better with him in the lineup. Now we got this great challenge with the Commonwealth, with Virginia Tech and Virginia on the schedule, playing ready to rock and roll, big game with the Hokies. Hokies got COVID issue. Now you don't play. Where's the mind? The emotion of Louisville basketball in the last 4 or 5 days has been all over the map, good, bad, and indifferent.
Absolutely. You know, it's heartbreaking for Malik Williams. You've had guys in this league that have to battle through injuries. They work their way back. They feel like they're ready to go. And then the first game, first practice back, they suffer an injury like that. I just feel bad for the guy, you know, and I do see at 6'11", he's packed on the pounds as most college players do. So now he's a little bit heavier. And when you have one of those foot injuries, it just takes a really long time to heal. You're right about the ups and downs of this season. I don't know if anybody's been paused for their problems and for other teams' problems more than Louisville. You know, they travel to Syracuse, game gets canceled. Syracuse travels to Louisville, game gets canceled. They travel to Virginia Tech, game gets canceled. So, I mean, I think it's ultimately a good thing that they're going to get a little rest here and get ready for that Virginia game. I talked to Vince Tyree a couple weeks ago. They don't want to just reschedule games and try and just pack them in just to play them. They want to focus in on the games that are on their schedule and try and win those games. I thought it would be a great test and a great battle against Virginia Tech, but this team has had a ton of ups and downs. And I just think about the mental fatigue. I know Coach Brunell talked about that as well. It's got to be weighing on these guys, but I'm hoping that they kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel that is the ACC tournament and then eventually the NCAA tournament as a way to really motivate yourself, get yourself going. I think about, I know he said dodgeball. We used to play wiffle ball with Coach Larinaga because the season does get long, and you don't have the reprieve this year of being able to go hang out with your friends or go to a party or something like that, like most college students do throughout the season. So it's been, you know, gym, dorm, class, and really nothing else. These guys don't have a lot of opportunity or outlets to kind of get that frustration or just the way season weighs on you. They don't have any way to get that out. So I'm happy. I'm excited that the ACC tournament's right around the corner because every team has dealt with all kinds of issues. And I'll say this, and I think I said this to you guys a few months ago, but the coaches that have negative mindsets about all the challenges in this pandemic, you've really seen their teams feel weighed down. You've seen them look worn out. You've seen a different demeanor out there on the basketball court. The coaches that are firing their guys up, that feel like they are blessed to have an opportunity to play, they're the ones that are playing their best basketball right now. I think that mentality from the head coach down, it means a lot more than people realize.
Interesting. Luke, I asked this question to Charlie Cream about central locations. You know you're going to go to a tournament. You were successful in those type of events at Louisville, the NCAA and conference tournaments. How different does the wind down of this regular season probably impact the way next week unfolds in your mind, just given all the things that are happening?
Yeah, at this point, it's been such a crazy year. I can't imagine these guys have any trepidation about going to play in one spot, that they feel like that they can't handle it. I mean, at this point, we're playing basketball however we can get the ball rolled out there. You know, we've had to deal with all kinds of cancellations, postponements, and right. They've been very close to games. You've already traveled to different sites and had to turn around and go back. I mean, think about, I said it earlier, but traveling to Syracuse, somebody tests positive and they can't fly back on the plane with the team. You got to get in the car and drive from Syracuse, New York, back to Louisville. Thank goodness that didn't happen for a Miami guy in Syracuse, or that they'd still be driving. It's been such a crazy year. I think you're just rolling with the punches. You're trying to get to the tournament. Guys are excited to play at this point. And however it looks, I think people are going to feel like it's more of an opportunity than a burden to go to one spot.
Speaking of Syracuse, what do you think they do this afternoon? Wes has the call. They obviously must win and then have a deep, deep run in the ACC tournament. But they got the game Monday. They had to win against North Carolina. Clemson's playing with a lot of confidence, winning five straight. But what do you think you're going to see late this afternoon on ACC Network?
Well, I think it's going to be an absolute battle. I'm really excited for this one. As I was looking at games, Louisville, Virginia Tech had me really interested, and then this Clemson-Syracuse game. And I think it's going to be a battle. Like you said, both teams are playing great basketball, their best basketball right now. Syracuse, with that big two-point win over UNC, they were able to battle inside. And I think it's going to take a lot of that against Big Amir Sims, a guy who I think should have some first-team considerations. I don't know if he's quite there, but he's really led this team. And you think about the adversity that Clemson's faced throughout this season. They're the number one defensive efficiency team in the country, not just the conference. And then they struggle for a little bit. The bullseye gets big on their back, and they weren't as good in the big moments as they needed to be, especially on the offensive end. But now they're playing great, and this is going to be an absolute battle. You got Buddy Boeheim scoring 1,000 points, starting to shoot it really well. Kadari Richmond's looked like a difference maker on the defensive end for Syracuse. And then we know about the front court. I'll call them issues. A little bit of a thin front court for Syracuse. They're the ones that really battled against UNC, Quincy Guerrier, and Marek Dolezal. They're going to need to battle it out against Amir Sims and company.
I got to tell you, I think Dolezal has been a fascinating piece for Syracuse this year because he does so much, Luke. I mean, shoots it, yeah. Rebounds it, passes it. I mean, the guy gets lost in all the other hoopla of players like Alan Griffin or Guerrier or Boeheim, but you look down there and Dolezal's, and he physically throws himself out there too. I mean, that's one of the things I just respect about the guy's hard work and game.
He definitely puts it all on the line. I agree with you there. I think he's a stat sheet stuffer, and IQ-wise, for big guys, you usually don't see him quite as smart or in the flow of the game as Marek is. I think he's been fantastic. He's been a big catalyst for them to make this run. Helps facilitate on the offensive end. He's the voice on the defensive side. He's long. He's pretty athletic. He's a little bit deceptive in there with how skilled he is in terms of footwork and finishing around the basket. I think I totally agree. I think he's been a huge piece and an anchor on the defensive end. You know, when Coach Boeheim's talking about Syracuse zone not being good enough on the defensive end, they're not talking about Marek. They're talking about those wings being physical enough, getting to the rim and protecting the rim, and then going and rebounding it. Quincy's been better, but I think they got to do it as a team. They're just a little thin in there, but he's been great.
All right. By the way, real quick. The four teams that will capture the double bye: Florida State, Virginia, Hokies. Who's the fourth?
Oh, it's going to be very, very close. I know Louisville has the big matchup Saturday against Virginia. I'm going to say Louisville finds a way to stay in there. I know Clemson has two very winnable games for them late. But I think Louisville's playing pretty well. I think they're going to find a way to battle it out against Virginia. I'm not saying they win that game, but I still think it might be enough to keep them up there. I know Clemson beat them earlier this year, but I think Louisville stays in the top four. And I think it's just a question mark how hot Syracuse can get late to see if they're the next team in the tournament. But I think Georgia Tech, Clemson, Syracuse all playing great basketball right now.
All right, going to home, boys.
I'm gonna drop this little college of knowledge on you, and once again, my math is subject to confirmation, Pack, as you well know, right? If Louisville wins, they would be winning percentage of 692 in conference play. Look at Pack hanging his head already, Hancock. Look at that. It's just embarrassing how bad he looks at me. I mean, when I start doing math. If Louisville wins, they'll have a winning percentage of 692. Well, I've gotten used to it. If Clemson wins both games, Clemson wins both games, Pac, they would be 11-6. They would have a winning percentage of 687. And why didn't you show the fish yesterday on Elon Day, by the way?
Because you're doing math.
687.
Just give Elon
would
a
be
shout
the winning
out. You're
percentage for Clemson. So 0.05 of a point winning percentage. There you go, Luke. That's it. Louisville would win 0.05 of a point. That's all I got.
A season unlike any other, guys. It's been a crazy year.
Apex.
I think the ACC tournament's going to be as good as it's ever been. Teams are obviously motivated to make a run here, and I think anything can happen. You could see this schedule that where everybody's ranked turn completely upside down here.
There you go. Thank you. Enjoy your tea time, or mean work, or whatever it is you're talking about doing that literally looks like you're going to hit balls.
I'm going to put the hard hat on. Come on now.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Wednesday. Many thanks to Luke Hancock. Not playing golf. However, Mr. Durham, you had the call last night as Pitt finally got back to their winning ways. It had been a long time for really both teams. That's why Wake Pitt had something going on. But Nike Sabandi was a guy that went off last night. He went crazy. Yeah. 23 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, did it all. And he joins us bright and early this morning. Let's bring Nike on the show, making his debut on Packer and Durham. First of all, Nike, congratulations, man. That was some effort on senior night.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Had to feel good, right? I mean, it's been a while, right? Just getting a W has got to feel. I mean, you guys do all that work, man. Just, hey, you just finally had to say, hey, let's go win a game.
Yeah, definitely, man. It felt good to go out there and compete and come out on top yesterday, for sure.
We know things have changed a lot for you guys in the last couple of weeks. You seem to embrace the opportunity Sunday in Raleigh. Coach Capel talked to me before the game about, you know, how he thought you really kind of moved your game next level, understood the magnitude of the moment of trying to fill the void left by Tony and Johnson's departure. How much carryover did you feel last night, and how much more comfortable were you taking the floor last night as opposed to maybe Sunday in another kind of a role for the first time?
I feel like I'm getting more comfortable within, you know, our offense. I think just my role in just, you know, being an older guy in the locker room, just trying to bring guys together and make sure that we all are taking it play by play and just staying in the moment. So it was definitely feeling good to go out there and win yesterday, for sure.
Justin Champagne has been so consistently good. When he's on the floor, Nike, how does that change your game? Because the guy can do everything. There's got to be at least a comfort zone to say, hey, listen, I can go create some stuff because I know number 11's over there to help us out, worst case scenario.
Yeah, man, he's a really good player, man. Justin, he can do everything on the floor. Credit to him, man. He could do a lot of things, and it opens up opportunities for everybody on the floor. I think him being on the floor just opens up opportunities for everybody else and keeps him in attack mode itself. So I'm proud of him.
Good. Boy, you know he's going to take a guy and a half more often than not, two guys with him on every play, right?
Right, literally. They send in doubles every time he touches it, so. He's doing a good job, you know, exploiting the offense and finishing strong and just, you know, being a big piece in our locker room, for sure.
Nike, given the opt-outs, not to dwell on that, how did the team handle that news? I mean, you guys go through this crazy grind. It's been a weird year. Everybody's in isolation. You're trying to stay safe and healthy and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, two-year leaders go, hey, you know what, catch you later. Well, The locker room vibe when you got that news. How did you guys react to that news initially? Not once, but twice in 1 week.
It was tough for us, but I think we handled it great. I think everybody came together, and we just all knew that we needed everybody in this locker room to go out and compete. So we just want to go out there and find ways to win. And we talked as a team. We just want to go out there and figure it out. And figure out a way to come out on top. So that's what we did, and And I'm excited that we did that. Proud.
You know, it's interesting. You kind of bring an older voice into the room, and you mentioned this. I mean, you know, you played 95 career games at Miami of Ohio. You had 20 points or more, you know, almost two dozen times last year. I mean, you've had success, albeit at another institution, and a lot of experience at that level. Coach right. Capel, I think, sensed that as much as what you were going to bring to the floor. And when he was litigating about your waiver, right, your ability to be eligible immediately, and certainly it got processed in mid-December, what was it like to have a guy support you like that publicly in terms of getting ready to play basketball for him in this program this year?
Man, it felt amazing just knowing I had a group of people that had my back, especially with Coach Capel, the guy at the top, man. It just felt good him having my back and knowing that he wanted to get me back and get me on the floor to help compete. So, it felt good just knowing that everybody is fighting for me to get – was fighting for me to get back on the floor. It felt amazing.
All right. This is too obvious of a question, but I'm going to ask it anyhow. First name Nike. Is it that obvious, or is there a story behind it?
It's pretty obvious. My parents like the brand, so.
So that was it. I mean, thank God, right? You could have been Puma. You could have been Adidas. But, man, Nike works, though, right?
Right. Yeah, literally.
And so, hence, you had to go to a Nike school. I mean, that would never have worked. A guy named Nike can't show up at an Adidas school.
Right, right. That's what they say, too.
It all worked out great for you.
Definitely did.
Yeah. I would also say this, too. You were destined to play basketball at a high level. I mean, when you go to Crispus Attucks in Indianapolis, that's a pretty elite level of basketball. I mean, that's where Oscar Robertson played. They've got an unbelievable tradition. I mean, you were kind of destined for all this in some respect, I guess, then, right?
Man, it was crazy. High school was crazy, man. We actually won like a state title my senior year off a buzzer beater. So it just felt like this was all destiny, man. It's just amazing, for real.
And nothing better than that. All right, so Saturday road trip. We end this regular season, but you got to go play at Clemson. Ironically, you know what? Haven't seen them. I mean, it's kind of weird. We get into March, you see somebody you haven't even seen all year. They're playing good basketball. They got Syracuse later this afternoon. What do you know about the Tigers?
They got a really good group of guys, and they compete. We just got to, you know, break down film and just break down each individual player and lock in and just focus up, and hopefully we can come out on top with the win against Clemson Saturday.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, you guys certainly got to feel better about getting ready for the Tigers after last night. Hey, Nike, thanks.
Whoa,
big question here.
Yeah, you can't leave us yet. Nike, here's the question, man. You ask this to every student athlete. Since you've been at Pitt, what has been your hardest class?
My hardest class. I'll probably say probably physics. I got a physics class that's pretty tough.
Ooh, nasty. Yeah. That's filthy. Yeah, physics is nasty. I don't want any part of that.
Hey, I don't know about that, man.
Lot of tests, man.
No, yeah, that's working right there. You know what? You got to put in the work in physics. There, you can't just say, hey, fake left, go right on physics. You got to put in the work on physics. Yeah. That's it. Well, listen, you're putting in the work right now, my man. We wish you the very best to finish off this season in style. Congratulations on the big win last night, and good luck on Saturday down in Little John.
Appreciate it. Have a good night. Good day, y'all.
You got it.
All right. Nike Sabandi is the transfer from Miami of Ohio, led Pittsburgh last night with 23. Panthers beat the Deacs here on ACC Network. They're off to Clemson before Greensboro and the ACC tournament. So good to visit with him. Physics. No thanks.
How about
taking a pass on physics?
Probably. How about if your first name was Skecher? Skecher Sabandi. You know, Nike's starting to sound better and better every time, isn't it? Seriously. I mean, I had to ask that question. I mean, if you meet somebody named Nike, you're like, it's got to be Nike, like Nike, right? Or is there another story to it?
Well, there's a Greek god, but yes, I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine your parents? Much, can you imagine
right?
your parents?
Sure.
Yeah, I just want to confirm that one. You know, but can you imagine if your parents said, man, I love Skechers. Whew. First time we have a kid, I'm going to name my kid Skecher. What a nightmare that'd be. Could the rest of your life named Skecher? I know they're not going to be a sponsor. So I'm not worried about it.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
What a weird year.
Give me
weird
a thought here. Yeah.
Gosh, strange
well,
year.
Well, and here's an interesting part. And there got to be a handful of guys, and Sabandi would be one of them from my way of thinking. And again, without knowing, you know, kind of where processes are, how many guys do you think that are seniors who get the swing on the house from an eligibility standpoint will come back?
I don't know. It's a great question.
I think we're looking at a bigger number than we think. Look, and there's every school in the ACC's got one guy, maybe even more, that depending, and we got to get some more clarity after basketball's over on this. And Tom Luginbill got into it with us from the football side about how the counters work in terms of scholarship. But with basketball, Pack, it seems to be a little more direct than with football. Football's just such a bigger number from a roster composition, right? In basketball, a guy like a Nike Sabandi coming back to play for another year, that's huge for Jeff Capel. I mean, that's a huge return to get a guy to say, yeah, I want to come back and play one more year, right?
Well, when you hear coaches and players and real experts in this sport talk about, hey, you got to figure out a way to get old and stay old, amen, 100% right, especially a guy that can give you 23-9-4, just snapping your fingers and all of a sudden he appears and was able to produce. You know, I think the other thing to answer your first question, though, Wes, I think it's going to depend on where we are in society with the COVID. I mean, I think the student athletes have gone through their quote unquote senior year in football and in hoops and all these other, you know, sports. Given how difficult this has been for all of them. Hey, if you're going to tell me I got a chance to come back, hey, I might be interested if, biggest word in sports, if we're back to normal. But do I have to go through this again? I don't think so. I think folks have just, I think there's people that are just mentally tapped out. I think, just stuff you and I do. I mean, working every day, you know, just go through this grind that every day, and today doesn't feel any different than June 14th of last summer, other than we're talking, you know, we got a game to talk about. But I think from a young person's standpoint, if you're 22 years of age, you've gone through 3 or 4 years of college, you love your teammates, you love your school, you're going to get your degree. Maybe you already got it. You work on your master's. But the grind of what you've got to go through to get ready for a practice, to stay safe, socially distance, you don't have any natural interaction with anybody else, whether it be teammates, other players of other schools, your own classmates. I don't know if you're ready to sign up for that again. If we have it from a societal standpoint, advanced ourselves that we're now kind of back to a routine. I think that's going to answer the question for a lot of folks moving forward as far as college athletics goes.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think we're that's a really good point. I think society will have a lot to do with it. And then what kind of deadlines and mandates are going to be made on it, right? Like, when do you have to decide? You know, we all know the NCAA sometimes operates in their own silo on, you know, calendars and registrations and declarations and things like that. So where does that fit in? But I think he is a guy who is interesting from the standpoint. And how do coaches go through that? I mean, you got to continue to think about your program in a big picture, but yet at the same time address 21-22 along the way. And that's not just a basketball thing. It's all these free years that are on the house. The only ones, by the way, that haven't been given that free year in this particular academic year are the spring sports that just started. But remember, they got one a year ago. So everybody for an entire calendar, essentially, has gotten a free year of eligibility, according to the NCAA. Then you throw in, and I know we got other things to do here, but then you throw in the immediate transfer eligibility and what potentially may develop on the fast track with name, image, and likeness. And now all of a sudden, you got a whole nother set of issues. So, but that's for another time. But I just that just struck me in our visit because here's a guy who clearly can provide some veteran presence for a team that may very well need it next year.
100% right.
And if he has a strong finish to 21, one might suspect he might want another role in 21-22 with Pittsburgh. Three games tonight. We get started at 5 o'clock from the Dome in Central New York. You know, it's big for Clemson. It's bigger for Syracuse. The Orange off the two-point win over North Carolina. Welcome the Tigers, who won the ball game back in early February by 17 at Little John. Amir Sims played well on Saturday against Miami. He's done a great job leading Clemson. But to be honest, Clyde Trapp, Nick Honor, Hunter Tyson, Hemingway, they're all giving Clemson a lift now. But don't get confused looking at all the offensive highlights for Clemson. Where the Tigers make their money, Mark, is at the defensive end of the floor, where they are one of the best in the country in defensive efficiency right now, according to Ken Pomeroy.
Well, that's when we did Notepad on Monday, looking back in February. That's why I picked him as the best defensive story in the league of any sport. I mean, he went 5-0 in February, gave up 56 points a game, and you know, we still remember, you know, Virginia lighting him up like a Christmas tree and Duke running by him. And when he went through that COVID pause, and as Brad Vanell told us, they kind of took a January off and then they got back to work in February. But they're playing in a really good rhythm. And when they make shots from the perimeter, they will be a tough out. There's no doubt. They made 11 against Miami on Saturday. And if they make 11 threes, they're going to win the game. That's how they feel, because defensively, they just put the clamps on you. But for Syracuse, this is a critical game. This must be a W. And if they don't win, it's real simple. They must win the ACC tournament. I think if they win this game, though, Wes, beating North Carolina, if they can say, hey, we beat Clemson too, is certainly higher in the net than North Carolina is. Hey, it gives you a chance to say, maybe we can just make a really, really deep run in the ACC tournament without having that pressure of having to win it all. But either way, there's a lot of work to be done for the Orange, but it's got to start with a W this afternoon at home, where they've been really, really good.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Clemson's got 5 straight wins, one of the longer streaks in Division I among Power 5 right now. Syracuse favored right around 60% today, Pac.
That's
12-1 at home this year. They only lost to Pitt. Your boys at BPI, though, like the Orange at home.
Well, you know what BPI stands for? Bad picks indeed. So that's also great news for Clemson for BPI numbers. But I will get, listen, I've ragged BPI to no end. To be transparent and fair, I think BPI picked Georgia Tech last night, did they not? All right, so I'm giving BPI some love here. I mean, they've been terrible in big games. They got it right last night. So there you go. Being fair. But I tell you what, if Clemson wins, I will be on their case tomorrow. I can assure you that. I'll be all over them.
BPI's never wrong, Pac.
BPI's been so bad. It's been embarrassing. But they were right last night. They got Georgia Tech right. Give them props.
All right. South Bend, Indiana, where they're having a heat wave. It's in the 40s today. For the Wolfpack's visit to the Purcell Pavilion. How about that?
Muffet will be working on the garden if it's in the 40s.
That's exactly. Yeah, why can't we check in with Coach, figure out what's going on at the garden?
Yeah.
NC State, 4-game win streak. Tell you what, sneaky Wolfpack. Pack, they're finding a way.
Well, it's not sneaky, Wes. They're motivated to play. And good for them. Like I said, when Devin Daniels went down with the injury, it would have been simple just to say, hey, we'll tap out. We'll catch you boys in Greensboro. See you later. I give Kevin Keats, his staff, and those players all the credit in the world because they have said, hey, no. We're going to come play. And I've seen some teams hit the wall and go nowhere fast. And like I said, for NC State a couple weeks ago, that would have been the easiest way out. And they have rolled up their sleeves, and they've grinded, and they've won, and they've won on the road. So I expect NC State to be motivated to continue their good play. And for Notre Dame, that's kind of a team that hit the wall. And, man, goodness gracious, the loss to Boston College over the weekend was like the exclamation point to February. Notre Dame's only way in is to win the ACC tournament. And the only way you're going to win the ACC tournament is start playing better. And that begins tonight against NC State at home.
Well, NC State forces a lot of turnovers. Notre Dame does not. Keep an eye on that tonight. Keep an eye on the margin and points off of. Ball game at 7 o'clock with Jay Alter and Malcolm Huckabee, by the way, from Purcell Pavilion in South Bend, Indiana. The third game of our triple header tonight here on ACC Network. We'll take you to Tallahassee. Mike Monaco, Dan Bonner for Boston College and Florida State. The Eagles beat Notre Dame, as Mark said, at home in Chestnut Hill. Florida State lost to Carolina, blew the second-half lead. Tar Heels rallied to win. I think you'll have Florida State's full attention. Boston College or the Boston Celtics would have Florida State's full attention tonight in Tallahassee. Noles want to get tuned up. They are at Notre Dame on Saturday. I'm not telling you the schedule fits, but I'm kind of saying the schedule fits for Leonard Hamilton's team to get it polished up and ready to ride to the Coliseum for next week.
Florida State's won 24 straight at home against ACC teams. Florida State's last time out, they got ran right out of the gym second half against North Carolina. They're playing the team that right now you'd have to say when we do accounting, which is tomorrow, by the way, they are 15th and have been all season long in BC. Even BPI.
Tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah. BPI accounting's Thursday, right. Wes. Every Thursday, remember. Every Thursday.
Yeah, I know. I got you.
You got the best team in the league taking on the bottom feeder right now in the league. And the best team in the league's coming off a loss. I said earlier, BPI's got them at what, 93.4%? That's too low.
Yeah.
That number's too low. This is not a good fit for the Eagles. Just you have picked the wrong time to play Florida State. Senior night, last go around, coming off a loss, and I'm being transparent. I'm going to sit here and tell you that this is going to be a competitive game. I don't expect this to be competitive.
Too low.
But wait a minute. Let me just say one other thing. This is why I'm the worst in America at picking games. I would have told you the same thing last night about Michigan, who had been playing lights out, taking on a really talented Illinois team. And Michigan got beat by like 69 points last night. Maybe not quite, but it was close.
Sure it was that much.
I think Jim Harbaugh gave him a pep talk. Jim Harbaugh gave him a pep talk. They got beat by 30. So, hey, crazy stuff happens. But this would be insane. I'm just telling you. Florida State's not going to lose tonight. Not losing tonight.
No, I don't think so. BPI didn't think so.
100% MPI. 100% MPI.
Mark Packer Index?
That's right. 100% Florida State tonight.
Great. Hey, Drew, Josh, do we think we can add the BPI and the MPI?
Yeah.
Like in the fall, we'll start with the FPI and the MPI?
I told you, I'm the worst. I am the worst in America at picking games.
You're already out there now. You're out there.
I understand that. But I'm being totally transparent. I am terrible at picking games. But I'm better than BPI.
Okay.
I'm better than BPI.
Oh, boy.
Not even close.
All right. On that note,
I own BPI.
Let me slide to commercial on that. Let me just slide off to the edge right over here on the side.
Well, if you don't want a piece of it, get out of the way. I'm just going to tell you right now, I own it. It stinks. And when I can say somebody stinks at picking games, then you know they're bad because I'm awful at it. I'm so bad, I created 30 and 30. Where I give you 30 losers right, in 30 seconds. That's how bad I am in picking games.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
ACC Women's Tournament starts today. Fun guests today. Interesting games this afternoon and tonight. It's March. It's always good, man. We just got stuff going on. Spring sports cranked up. We got a little baseball and some softball. We've had some championships. We've had winners.
Lacrosse
is doing its thing. I like it, man. I love the springtime. Spring's beautiful. Especially when it's like mid-40s in South Bend. And you know those folks in South Bend are celebrating to the gods, aren't they?
Oh, goodness.
Mid-40s and early March in South Bend.
You betcha.
Beautiful.
That's right. It's like a heat wave.
Beautiful.
Right? That's it. Quick reminder with the women's basketball tournament starting today in Greensboro, don't forget about the ACC Championship Hub. Ready? interactive fan experience, content, chalk talks, highlights, more stats, info, surprises. Who knows? Download the ACC mobile app or, pretty simple, log onto your computer, accchamphub.com, the ACC Championship Hub. Next 2 weeks, it's your one stop for everything you need to know about the women's and then the men's basketball championships at the Coliseum Complex in Greensboro. BC Pitt, Joanna Barnaby McNamee joined us last week, and it's not been the year they hoped for, certainly not the year Lance White hoped for. Pauses really at both places, more significant, I think, with Boston College. Everett's been great for Pitt. Taylor Soule has been sensational for Boston College this year, Mark.
I said yesterday when we unveiled the women's awards, I thought Taylor Soule had a chance to be one of the 10 on first team. Mm-hmm. And when we rattled off those names, she was the one that immediately came to mind. I'm like, wow, there's no Taylor Soule here. But she's terrific, and she's the kind of player that, you know what, you get into this stage where it's lose and go home, you say, get on my shoulders, let's go. And Taylor Soule could do that. So winner gets yep. Syracuse, and Coach Q is going to sit there, keep an eye on this one, and make some notes and see what happens. But we finally get the ladies started. And, you know, when you were going through the billboard with that, I started thinking about it a year ago with us doing the show in the Greensboro Coliseum. Mm-hmm. For the women's tournament, and then followed up by the men's before all of a sudden everything came to a screeching halt. And it's hard to believe we've gone a full year, right? And where we were a year yep. ago with what was about ready to be unveiled on all of us and how we've had to adapt mm-hmm. and go through it. It truly is amazing that that was a year ago. It's been yeah. a long, sometimes tedious year, but we, you know what? We've kind of got to the point where maybe we can see some light at the end of the tunnel here a little bit, which is good.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, a week from Friday will be the last time that you and I did a show in the same room. How about that?
Yep, that would be true. And by the way, this Friday will be our 3-year anniversary when we debuted on radio on SiriusXM, Packer and Durham. And I looked up earlier. Do you like traditional or modern, Wes? I want you to answer. A or B? A is traditional. B is modern. It's important how you answer. You traditional? B. All right. B would be modern.
Modern.
Because when we had modern. Donna, who called in earlier today, and she wished us a happy anniversary, I asked her, well, on the third year anniversary, what do married couples get on the third year anniversary? And she didn't know. Well, I know the answer. If it was a traditional marriage, the third year is leather. You get leather for your 3-year anniversary. But you pick B,
golf
which is
shoes,
modern.
Nice.
No, no. Crystal or glass for modern.
Oh.
So there it is. You could have gone leather, but no, you want the modern deal. So that's what it is. So if you're thinking about something for me and Wes for Friday on our 3-year anniversary, my partner wants to go modern. So that's crystal or glass. And that means Josh Pastner. Appreciate the face shield, but we're going to have something in glass on Friday. Just saying. I would suggest glass.
I know what. Glass. A glass with a cube.
With one cube and about 3 fingers of brown water. Maybe 4 at the rate we're going this week with everything behind the scenes. Maybe just a bottle. Just a bottle, we'll call it even.
Oh, my God.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.